You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are still talking about singles, but we're wrapping it up.
This is the wrap.
This is the final one of our series, but we had some fun guests in here.
It's quite a topic to explore, right? You know what I mean? It's, I don't know. When I was young, all I could think about was getting married. You know, I was living in Weaverville, but.
Does that change? Depending on what city you live
in? Well, I think if you're a Christian and you live in a little tiny town, you're like, let's get on with this.
My options for life are pretty limited.
Right.
So marriage and the mill.
So all these older people that I knew that weren't married yet, I was shaking my head like, what are you doing?
Move to Reading.
What are you waiting for? Yeah, the big city of Reading. Yeah. So, yeah, I am, nearly 40 years married. I think, gosh, I can't imagine not being married.
Sure. I work with singles, and I have lots of single friends. I think Ben and I have collected a place where singles come and gather around us, which I love that they see us as a safe place of an example for marriage and family. But I didn't have a whole lot of single years before getting married because I got married at 18.
So this was quite a exploration in other paradigms and realities and how people think, and it was a learning experience for me.
We started the series off with Allison Slack now.
Yes.
She just recently got married, and it's been really fun. But I've actually known Allie single. That's all I've ever known her until the last couple years. And she shares her story on here, and it's inspiring watching her close up, seeing her chase after things. Like when she worked in the office with us, I remember it wasn't about the guy she was trying to date or the guy she was trying to find. It was all the adventures in which Allie was looking at and pursuing and happening in. And she really has always been a great example of just living a full life and falling in love with who she was and who she is.
And who she's called to be and just being faithful to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's done a great job of that. And from that, someone very unexpected, I think, popped in. And, if you missed Allison's episode, you should go listen to it because she just brings a lot of hope and honesty and vulnerability to the process.
Yeah.
And almost getting married and all of that. So she's walked through a lot.
She has. I think the reality of people holding on to the hope, like Allie held on to the hope of finding someone who wanted to get married and be married for the rest of their lives. And even he is, coming off of a broken marriage, and Allie becomes a parent, day one, she's a parent. Boom.
It's kind of like Lauren Valentin.
Just like that. So I think that the idea of seeing a lifelong covenant between two people is, it's a war zone right now. The family is just in this war zone of being bombarded with the illusion or the delusion that you can do family however you want to. You can just, you can take a squirrel and a rabbit and make a family. You're like, what the heck is happening here? Where is this coming from? And it feels like we're just being bombarded with options to where people are kind of confused about what a lifelong covenant together, raising children, is. it's an ideal. It's a goal. It's a hope. It's a, you throw everything you have at accomplishing that. Mm-hmm. And you, you know, that's how you live in a man-woman relationship. You throw everything you have at making this work. Mm-hmm. Both of you.
Yeah.
Not just one of you, both of you. And for whatever reason, this kind of stirs up the good times create weak men thing, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
We have so much weakness in family leadership going on. And I think that gets all over single people.
Yeah. That it is a, it's an interesting, you know, spin when you're talking about the design of covenant and that pursuit and what it is now. I know when Ben and I did the defining the relationship course not too long ago, I think I've said this before, but I was so shocked at how many people were bringing to that class that they were living together. Mm. And, you know, obviously sleeping together, creating a life together, but they weren't in a marriage covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get that information and we're at church, you know, so there's, I thought everybody knew what you were bringing.
Yeah.
But apparently.
Well, I buy the cow and you get the milk for free.
Yeah. And so it has, there's just been this breaking down of the standard in what you're bringing to this relationship. And part of this starts back here in your singles, the decision that you make of what you're going to protect and who you're going to be and the standard that you're going to keep. So when you do enter a relationship, all of a sudden, if your partner doesn't agree with this, that you're, the person that you're dating, and they're like, oh, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, it's past 2020. We all survived. So who knows what's going to happen? We should just dive in. And well, it's rough.
Yeah, I think you nailed it when you say we're lowering the standard. It's there's God's standard mm-hmm. and there's the world standard, and there's not some in-between standard.
Yeah, that's
you know, there's
the
just
gray.
A compromising God's standard,
yeah.
you know, to becoming more like the world standard. So when you live in the church with the world standard, you have to ask yourself, what in the world am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why in the world am I over here?
And
it's because I'm trying to get the best of both worlds. You know, I want fire insurance for my ungodly approach to life and covenant and, yeah. you know, who's my Lord?
Yeah.
Who's my Lord? It's not Jesus if you're doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's just not. And you can argue that and have a fit about that if you want to, but read your Bible. This is how this works over yeah. here. And the you know, as soon as you enter compromise, you begin to, this is the idolatrous life of Israel. You always wonder, like, how in the world did they have little statues that they bowed down to? Like, well,
golden
look
calves.
Around.
Yeah.
yeah, look around your life and see how much compromise you have pulled over into your so-called serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's the delusional part for young people coming up and looking at all this and saying, yeah. okay, well, which one of these do I want? Like, well, the one you want is the one over here that is has got Jesus leading you and you asking, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one you want. All the gradients out from that is run away.
This is probably why community is such a huge aspect, because whatever crowd you're running with is what you're probably going to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're running with this crowd that is willing to compromise the standard, then it won't be too long before you compromise the standard.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always feel like it's, oh, I just went to a party and slept with a random guy. It's, oh, I all of a sudden I'm drinking more than I should, or all of a sudden I'm, you know, having exchanges in my Instagram DMs than I should. All of a sudden it's a photo. It doesn't necessarily go 0 to 60. Sometimes it can, but it feels like your ability to choose wisely the people that you put yourself around will heavily influence the path in which you're walking in your single life.
Mm-hmm. And I think it, you know, it is just obviously an overall breakdown in spiritual culture, spiritual leadership culture. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, when the leaders of your standards are partying with the world, you're like, yeah, okay, mm-hmm, we have lost a gear here. And I have a buddy that was just telling me he was at this retreat for all these pastors, and he just walked away shaking his head, because every night these pastors were drunk.
Mm.
And then at noon the next day, they start hitting it again. Huh. And it's like, he's just shaking his head, like, what's going on? I'm like, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
What's going on is when we lower the quality of experience around heaven on earth, around the presence of God, around, mm-hmm, the standards of my life lining up with the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I start this is that fear of the Lord thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that when the leaders aren't practicing the fear of the Lord, the followers aren't either. And and so when you create that context for families start coming apart, children start looking around going, well, you know,
yeah,
I don't know, but it looks like we're on our own here, you know? So,
or they just go to their peers, you know. This is why I love having, we had Sarah and Christian and Allie and Fantozzi, and then all the girls in the office that are all, you know, all these single people. I love that my children have them as the example, because they're doing a great job. The other thing that I love is I'm watching Sarah and Ashley have a relationship with Christian, who's a male,
mm-hmm,
and not sleep with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Good job, ladies. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the thing that is, once you get into high school, I'm watching Adeline. I mean, she's in middle school. The discovery of, okay, all of a sudden, if you have a friend that's a boy, you have to like him.
Yeah, he's your boyfriend.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't just be friends with a boy, mm-hmm, which is so sad, because how do you actually ever find someone that you're supposed to really do your life with if you can never be their friend first? Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I find so frustrating. So to watch these girls do a great job of having a friend that's a boy, that is respectful, that is kind, that's encouraging, that's not violating any boundaries, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Who has tons of respect for you.
Uh-huh.
And is protecting you from him.
Yep. You know, that's the real job, I think, of a young man.
Yeah.
Protect yourself.
Protect everyone.
Protect
everyone from you. This is Joseph and Mary, right? The whole idea of Mary comes and says, hey, you're not going to believe this, but I'm pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And he's like, yeah, right, lady, yeah.
Nice and try.
He sends her out like, okay, I'm just going to ghost you. And he has his own dream. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and goes, okay, came on, here we go. And then he marries her, and she has a baby, and he never touched her the whole time. Joseph protects Mary, not only from the culture that's going to kill her for getting pregnant, yep, as a, you know, unwed, mm-hmm, mother, unwed teen, and then he goes on to protect her from himself, even though he has legal right,
yeah,
if you will, mm-hmm, to do what he wants. And it's just this, you know, beautiful story of man leadership, you know, protecting women. Like, I love it.
And it should be that.
That's how this ends up being a safe place.
And that, I mean, in my very small years of singlehood, I did have a few relationships with idiots.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't very many, and I was young.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do that. There wasn't they know how to value what I value, protect what I want to protect. It was how far can I push this line before you crumble?
Yeah.
And again, I think about even the garden had such a, I want you to like me. I want you to love me. I want you, what can I do for you? There's this longing, and I think in our hearts as women, just mm-hmm. to be desired, cherished, to be known, to be invited. And so we're just on this search, and it's beautiful in marriage.
Yeah.
And if it's in an unhealthy spot when you're single, you'll fill it with someone that you're not supposed to fill it with yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can violate it.
Yeah. Yeah. And ladies, you got to respect yourself enough
mm-hmm.
to require that kind of respect. And gentlemen, you got to take to the relationship the idea that it's your job to protect her. Because
mm-hmm.
this is the dynamic is, you know, she operates in vulnerability and you consume vulnerability. That's how this works. This is why this is such a beautiful loop. And if she offers vulnerability and you don't protect her from your consumption, this goes on.
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful thing about Ben coming into our life and that sort of thing is, you know, he had so much integrity and such a high standard for himself.
He did.
He's such a high, I mean, when he was came wailing to your mom in the school of ministry, he's just like, oh, I got to talk to you. Oh, my God. We're like, oh, God, what happened? Oh, my gosh. And he finally comes, he just had to, through weeping, he says, I kissed Brittany. Like, what? Sherry's like, oh, but on the outside, she's like,
be tough.
How dare you? You what? You know, keep the standard with him. Keep, you know, keep the boy in the standard.
Yeah.
But it's that level of love and respect that he's bringing to the relationship, you know, is a seed for a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a beautiful place for your vulnerability to come later. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's only going to respect his family.
Mm-hmm. I think Lauren talked about this when she was on with Jay, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, she didn't give a yes, which his joke was he was the bachelor of Bethel, you
yeah,
know.
He's, yeah, he's a hot commodity.
He was
Jason
the
Valentin.
Bachelor. Yeah. We could have had a rose ceremony over there. It would have been funny.
Uh-huh.
But she had really high respect for herself and you know, the wisdom of her community saying, okay, you know, he is this desired thing, but you're willingness to be patient and kind of set out your timeline. And I think that was the thing that she was okay with and okay with making him feel uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. if you're worth the wait, then you got to be patient because I'm not sure I have a yes yet.
And he did a similar thing that Ben did, which was he brought great respect,
mm-hmm.
you know, great respect for her, her boundaries, her hesitation, her need. I mean, he owned it. He's mm-hmm. like, okay, let me go find another gear here.
Oh, that was a no? I'm not used to that.
Because this 24-year-old didn't fold as soon as I brought my awesomeness to the table.
Yeah.
You're like, right, yeah,
no,
good job.
It's true.
And that's how you live happily ever after, is that mm-hmm. that setup in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have it.
I think that's the encouragement I want to give to the singles is, you're in such a beautiful season to be preparing
mm-hmm.
for if you're going to give it away, but you got to love it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to love yourself. You've got to have high value. You have to enjoy who you're becoming.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you don't enjoy who you're becoming, why would they enjoy who you've become?
Mm-hmm.
So pursuing that place of self-awareness, like becoming really well-versed in knowing yourself, knowing what your needs are, because it's a different ballgame when you have all these emotions that you want to give away, but you don't know how to communicate what you need, and you're hoping that they're going to read your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, that's hard on friendships. That's really hard in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So getting really good at, okay, what do I need? What does it look like to have my needs met? What does it mean to communicate those needs? and doing that work and then keeping that standard of finding someone that's willing to do that work as well, so that you don't have to constantly be teaching them mm-hmm. on how to grow. Mm-hmm. You want to find someone that's willing to grow as well.
Mm-hmm. I worked with a young lady as a social worker. I was the supervisor of the region, and she was my first hire. And I think she was 34. She worked for me for a couple of years. And I remember somewhere in 36, she met a guy, mm-hmm. you know. And previous to that, though, she says, I've been in more weddings than most pastors. Like all her friends in college and her family and her sisters and everybody got married while she's just kind of... And I just love a line she hit me with. I'll never forget it. She said, I would rather be single than wish I was. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there you go. You are just keeping that standard up there, because once you give that away,
yeah,
it's now a lifetime of negotiating mm-hmm. how am I going to live like this? Mm-hmm. And she met this awesome guy and there. Yeah. Living great. Happily ever after, but it had everything to do with pushing those standards up and keeping them up mm-hmm. there. And I just love that about the young ladies around me that I've watched, you know, mm-hmm. Allie and Leah and you know, whoever, we just watch them keep these standards and then ploop, they get plucked out from us, you know. But,
Leah just had baby number two.
Yes. And yeah. I just love it when the lady brings out the best in a guy mm-hmm. by keeping those standards high.
Yeah, that is, and that's the truth, is that you doing a really good job of having high respect for yourself, it attracts someone that's like, okay, I want to fight for this. I want this. And that's what you want. You want somebody that says, yeah, you're going to have to win me over, and it's going to cost you something. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to watch and see, but I'm not going to give in. And that's the part we were talking about earlier, is, you know, wanting to have the best of both worlds. But really, the world doesn't have anything that will satisfy you. Mm-hmm. And I think if you surround yourself with people that believe that, you're going to actually just walk into it and realize that this forbidden fruit that you thought tasted good is just rotten inside. And it's going to be unfulfilling.
Yeah. Well, it's disappointing because it's fickle. You know, there's no eternal standard. Mm-hmm. It's based on my emotions. It's based on my wants. It's based on my opportunities. It's just based on a million things. And you are on the receiving end of that. That's what I mean by when you leave God's standard, you introduce mm-hmm. various levels of fickle.
I love that. It's based on our emotions, wants, and opportunities. Yeah, paying attention to those. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's how relationships blow apart, is I wanted something different. I was bored. Mm-hmm. Or I fell out of love with you. Like,
you fell in the hole?
like, I don't understand how you fell in love.
Yeah.
Don't fall in a hole. Mm-hmm. And certainly don't fall out of a hole.
Definitely not.
And then opportunities, like, wow, I think I could upgrade here.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, singles, we're excited for who you're becoming mm-hmm. and the standard that you're willing to keep to find something remarkable and enjoy who you are.
Yeah. And whether it's, you know, married with a family or just like the Apostle Paul, just faithful.
Yeah.
Just faithful in your call, but full of joy and happiness and vision. However, it's just such a smart job to get over here and learn and apply God's standards mm-hmm. to living out your faithful life.
Yeah. It's okay. Well, we're going to jump into questions now.
So okay.
Should be fun. We'll see you in a minute. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a short break and hear from our good friend Charles about some really great resources.
As a business leader, what if you're doing people development all wrong? See, great leaders know the importance of investing in the human side of their business, but many either don't know where to start or they use traditional approaches that don't really work. Old training approaches like buying everyone a leadership book, bringing in a speaker, or doing a once-a-year offsite might feel good in the moment, but are often a waste of time and money. And that's because when people get back to work, they just slip into their old habits again. You see, personal growth doesn't happen all at once, it happens over time. That's why the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture is to create an ongoing people development system, not a one-time event. But how? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got a free gift for business leaders that's going to help. I'm Charles Cowan, founder of the people development company GrowthStream, and we've discovered a simple but powerful four-step system that makes development easy. And we're giving away our secrets in a free training video. In this training, you'll learn how to develop your people in less than 1 hour per month using our simple four-step system. Plus, you'll learn how to do it yourself if you have time, or outsource it if you're busy. So if you're a business owner, HR manager, or leader and want to learn about the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture, then go to growthstreamtraining.com to see the video before it's gone. Again, that's growthstreamtraining.com.
All right, well, we're going to jump into our questions. And today's question comes to us from Keaton.
Hi, my name's Keaton. Been listening to the Kylo Show for since its release. So I'd just like to thank you guys for all the amazing stuff that you guys have taught me when it comes to relationships. But I have a question regarding engagement. And I remember hearing you guys say that your level of engagement is directly proportional to your level of commitment and maturity in a relationship. And I had an interesting scenario where my previous relationship ended because both parties felt the sacrifice needed in order to be together, which was moving across the country for each other, one or the other, to be with each other was going to be unhealthy. In a lot of ways, and for one person that was immediate and the other, it took about 3 months to get to that point where there is a definite answer. And, you know, I wonder what level of sacrifice, it becomes unhealthy, in a relationship, even if you share the image and the dream of a happy, healthy family.
Well, what I think I'm hearing is it felt unhealthy for them to move because it was going to require a lot of sacrifice that doesn't sound like either one of them was willing to make.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the question is knowing when to call it unhealthy or when to know when it's unhealthy. But I think if you're not willing to move, then you definitely shouldn't get married.
Right.
Because I hope that you're married and living in the same place. And there's a whole lot of sacrifice that comes with that. So I think that's maybe too soon, you know, that might be part of the equation. So if you've been dating a month and you're like, okay, you got to move across country, I don't know if that's a really good ask yet. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the level of unhealth that we're at. I think that it's hard to know if this is a person that we're going to do a really great job of respecting boundaries, protecting each other's hearts, and then building community. Because when one person moves and the other one doesn't, it's only one person that has community where they're going most of the time. Mm-hmm. So it's like this person's on display and hope that you make friends, but nobody really knows you over there. So I get the different things that are warring against that. I would say probably the only unhealthy spot is potentially how soon you're asking this person to uproot their life. But at the same time, if you are really serious about this relationship, you might want to jump on that sooner than later to figure out, this is going to work. Can I make friends? Can we build a community?
Yeah. I think a great test of what it is we want to build is what if about my former life was I willing to sacrifice? And a common conversation I have with single people is kind of the accessorizing kind of approach to this, which is, I wonder what you could add to my amazing life. Because mm-hmm. can you make my life even more amazing? Because I don't know that, you know, how else to do this. It's mm-hmm. like, no. This very much is about, I am willing to sacrifice my life to build one with you. Mm-hmm. And it maybe is less obvious in the engagement aspect, but once you get married, you start having children. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Here we go. This is, I do not have the former life that I had.
Yeah.
And this is part of what we're building is a sacrificial life that we're now offering to our children. Mm-hmm. You know, much of what we're doing isn't what we were doing before.
Yeah.
We're now pouring our lives into these little demanding individuals and people, you know, and more people today are saying things like, I don't want kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to offer that sacrifice. Like, right. Okay. Well, that's where this is headed. And that's for that reason is that you would replicate yourself and keep the species going kind of a deal instead mm-hmm. of, I would like to consume as much as I possibly can while I'm here on the earth.
Yeah. I think about when Ben and I got engaged, he literally had no job. He borrowed a bike to ask for my hand in marriage. Mm-hmm. So he had nothing to offer me as far as things. He was a man of integrity and character and I could see what we were going to build. I had nothing to do with what are you going to bring to my life as material items. And even when we got married, I mean, he had some debt from school and still no job. So our first year of marriage, I was the only one that could legally work in this country. Again, what I knew that he would bring wasn't material things. It was who he was, the man of God he was. And that in itself was worth all the extra work I would ever have to do for our first year of marriage. Mm-hmm. And so weighing them out in some kind of scale to see if this is worth it, if I can give up my condo in Dallas and move to you in, you know, Nebraska, why don't you just come here? It's so much, I have so much better life here. But your whole family's there. And that, you know, I don't know. Those are, have to be willing.
That's the upfront negotiation. Like, you know, like, okay, well, where would it be better to start our life? And what, you know, and
what are we going to need?
It might come down to, you know, she says, I just don't want to move away from my family.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, this is the leave and
I think there's a scripture.
Leave and cleave piece here. You know, like this is, yeah, but I have this awesome job and I'm this awesome guy and I got this awesome comfort level and I got this awesome
thing. My car won't work out there in the cornfields.
And so you're like, yeah, well, this is where it shows up. Like, will you be willing to love your wives and give your life up for her? Mm-hmm. Well, this might be test number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for you to say, no, I wouldn't pass this test, then great.
Move don't. On.
Don't enter it.
And we had a call not too long ago that they were a long distance. And, you know, it was a hard call. It was a call that was not one of the feel-good ones you all pass with flying colors. But I think that – actually, I walk away from those calls thinking – thank you, Jesus, that there was two people that were willing to invite random strangers that trust us to speak into us and go, you should not get married. Mm-hmm. This is probably not a good idea. Mm-hmm. And it's not I find some victory in bringing good news, but I find victory in I stopped one more divorce from happening.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of the ones that stand out to me, wedding invitations have gone out.
Yeah, those are hard.
There are flights from Europe. Mm. You know, there are hundreds of people with this date, you know, mark the date. Mm-hmm. And in my office, I basically said, I think what you just said is you don't really like her very much, but you hope you can change her. Yeah. And silence was in the room. And eventually he says, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
And they called it off, you know. But yeah. it was, I'm not willing mm-hmm. to accept you as you are. I am going to work to turn you into somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, no, there's no sacrifice involved in that. I mean, yeah. She's being sacrificed, but you're the one that throws yourself on the altar here. You're like, mm-hmm. dude, I am a living sacrifice, and mm-hmm. I am here to demonstrate mm-hmm. that I will love you mm-hmm. with my whole heart.
And there's lots of entitled ladies out there, so we're speaking about men, but there are lots of ladies.
I'm always speaking about the men. I always think.
But there are lots of ladies that I think, wow, you want him to be a doormat. And you want to just rule this house, and mm-hmm. that's the same agenda. They're hoping I can change you.
Yeah,
and it's not just the men; it is the ladies too.
And the ladies' sacrifice is her vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you want to be a control freak? Control your freaking self, you know. And yes. This comes back to, oh right, you're going to have to offer your heart, to this guy mm-hmm. that you think you can control. Mm-hmm. There's a mistake.
Yeah. All right. Well, good question. We're going to go to our next one, which comes to us from Miriam.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. Thank you for teaching. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 4 years. We both recognize his anger could turn into rage in our arguments, and I get into survival mode when he does that. For example, he started yelling and pounding, followed by me pushing him away. This has been destroying our connection and my sense of safety in this relationship. He is a believer and a man of integrity. He agreed that this needed to change, but just couldn't seem to control himself in an argument, or doesn't have the tool. We have taken the online DTR classes and tried a couple sessions of counseling, but I still find him yelling and using you statements when I set limits. I felt hurt and hopeless and have walked away from this relationship. He had some personal encounters with God and changed drastically. I agreed to give it another try and help him work through this. However, his encounters with God stopped and yelling came back. I am wondering if I should leave the relationship, but I want to consider carefully. Because due to the insecurity this causes, I have actually mentioned breakups a few more times. This has created a high level of anxiety for him. If I end this relationship, is it going to be a limit setting or a threat to control him? Thank you.
I don't have anything nice to say. So I'm going to let you lead that one. So,
Well, it's he's already demonstrated what direction he's going to head. So you can count on more of the same. And it just disintegrates, so it gets worse and more disrespectful and more abusive. And so setting a limit, I think she's probably been accused enough of threatening him and scaring him. He's a victim. You know? Mm-hmm. He's a victim. And she feels bad. She feels like a bad guy because mm-hmm. he's so upset and so scared and da-da-da. But she needs to let him know that she'd be glad to pursue a relationship with someone that she's not afraid of.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be happy to pursue a relationship with someone I feel respected by. Mm-hmm. I'm more than happy to be in a relationship with someone I feel connected to. And, you know, she just needs to tell him about her mm-hmm. and then, you know, go look for that. And if it's him, then it's going to take an overhaul because he's not repentant.
Yeah.
You know, he went and did what she told him to do, which was you need a relationship with Jesus. So he went to church And he came back and went, ta-da. Yeah. Do you know what Jesus said to me today? You know, I'm reading my Bible, da-da-da-da-da. And then realized later that the problem that he was solving isn't that he needs to go to church. The problem that he's solving is that he doesn't know how to protect her from his upset.
Yeah.
And until he learns how to do that, then she is a target of his upset. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary thing.
Yeah, I think it's hard for me to believe that a man of integrity would make you question your physical safety. Mm-hmm. That part is, I'm sure he's really nice sometimes, but that's what is scary for me for women is when they believe that, you know, they're controlling, manipulative, and hurtful, or, you know, she referenced the anxiety that is caused when she says she's going to leave. Well, that's not on you, girl. Like that, mm-hmm. your safety is number one priority. And so being brave enough to set a boundary and then follow through with it, mm-hmm. girl, that's what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. Follow through with the boundary. Because that's where you find if this person is really going to change, is that you don't adjust and cower and lower your standard. You can't keep lowering your standard mm-hmm. in when I say, I would love to have this conversation, when you're respectful mm-hmm. and not scary. Mm-hmm.
And she has two choices, you know. She can live having to protect herself from him, or she can live having him protect her from him.
Yeah.
And it's his job. It's the only, you know, only one that actually is going to be able to manage his half of that stuff
right.
is him.
Yeah.
And I would just say, I would be happy to be in a relationship where you protect me from that.
Yeah.
If you don't, then I will be over there mm-hmm. looking for someone who knows how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And 4 years is a big investment. I'm sure, you know, I don't know the potential for soul ties to be created in four years.
Oh, yeah.
Is real.
Way
and,
high.
And so I don't know what soul ties are there that that are making this even harder for her to set that boundary. Mm. And so that's the part that I would be looking for some direction and hope and counseling for you on, okay, I need to figure out what I'm going to do with this soul tie if this person is not going to change. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you just keep returning to the soul tie. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called a soul tie. Mm-hmm. So you've got to figure out how to fix that problem while he's working on this one.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Great point.
All right. Well, let's go into some good news.
Okay.
All right. We're going to hear a testimony from Caitlin.
The Kylo tools have affected my life immensely. My family found the tools when I was about 16, and they have helped so much. I learned to be a better daughter, sister, and friend. Plus, I use the tools in my business, and I've been able to create a kingdom culture where my love is always on towards my employees and clients. Thank you, guys.
That's awesome.
Ba-dum-bum.
Short and sweet. She's there like, you know what? We're doing it. It's awesome. It's great. Thank you. I think she's probably a D. Right to the point. Deliver what I needed to tell you. In and out. We're done with this. Keep doing what you're doing. It's great. Great. Good job, guys.
That's awesome. That's
well, awesome. She's 16. Or was 16 when her parents first got it. I don't know how old she is now, but I mean, at oldest, if they first got your book when it came out, she's 26 at the oldest. I don't know. Right? Mm-hmm. That's if they would 20, yeah. 25. I mean, if they got it the day it came out and implemented it. So let's call her, she's 20 at most, mm-hmm. roughly in there, probably. But that's awesome. And she has a business that she sounds like she's rocking and rolling with the message of keep your love on and replicating it.
Well, she could be in her mid-20s.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She's close.
Yeah.
Because Kyla's only been out for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean. Like, saying they got it hot off the press and then immediately mastered it.
Yeah,
I'm giving them all the best case scenarios sure, that she's sure, 26, yeah, but yeah. I don't know how she is. So.
Yeah,
but yeah, well, that's awesome.
It is amazing how learning something, hearing something, liking something, agreeing with something, mm-hmm. is a journey to behaving it, you yeah. know, and then for it to be who you are going forward and you're a leader in it. Well yeah. done. That's a journey.
That is a journey.
That's a journey. So super impressed.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I think that wraps up the end of our singles series.
Here we go.
And it's been a lot of fun. Hopefully you found some really great stories, resources, tools to apply to your life. I know that actually I was at church on a couple Sundays ago when the series has been out, and it was a single gal, and she said, I've been listening to the show, and I just want you to know that thank you for doing a series on singles, because she said it's been really encouraging and great. Helpful.
We'll so pass it around.
We'll just keep...
Pass it around.
Keep doing it. So, awesome. Thank you so much again for joining us on The Kylo Show. And remember that whole healthy families are going to save the world.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.